First, I want to say thank you for spending your Monday morning with us. It's a real pleasure for me to be here in Dublin today. For somebody like me who started at Microsoft 23 years ago, my first job being at Microsoft Europe in Paris, coming here to Dublin, coming back to Dublin, is a little bit like coming home. It was 31 years ago in 1985 that Microsoft got its start here in Ireland. We were one of the first technology companies, as you may know, to recognize that by coming to Ireland, we could not only plant our flag in a place with great talent, but we could work with people here to serve all of Europe. And that's what we started to do in the 1980s. We started by producing CDs and then DVDs and then bringing developers from across Europe here to Dublin and then eventually investing in data centers as well. Little did we know that when we made that investment to put our first big data center here in Dublin, we would also eventually become involved in an issue that brings us back here this week and today to launch a new conversation, as Satya mentioned, about what it really means to create a cloud that serves the broader good. Little did we know that this data center in Ireland would lead to litigation that would involve a case we filed against our own government. Litigation that would be followed by many people across Europe and around the world. Little did we imagine that when we started that case, it would wind its way through the courts, literally taking us years. But little did we know that if we persisted, we would find, as we did this past July, that we would actually win a case that, as Fortune magazine said, created not just only a good week for Microsoft, but a great one for the cloud. We brought that case because we thought it involved an important principle. We brought that case because we thought it was important to establish that no government, through its own unilateral legal process, can reach into other people's email located in other parts of the world. We brought that case because we thought it was important to stand up for people globally. And that, in many ways, is what we wanted to talk about throughout Europe this week. As a company, we look at where technology is going, and we believe that we're, in fact, at the dawn of a new industrial revolution. And it's worth pausing and reflecting on what that really means. There are many who are starting to call this the fourth industrial revolution. Well, of course, what that means is that there's been three before it. And indeed, I think that's a fair thing to say. And it's interesting to just reflect on how each industrial revolution changed the world. It started in the British Isles with the first industrial revolution and the first real invention that changed humanity in so many ways, the steam engine. By the time that revolution ran its course, the world was not only better connected, distances had not only shrunk, but the minds of men and women had changed as well, because people could see that it was possible to build a machine that would travel faster than a horse. The mode of transportation that had literally defined speed for many millennia. Now, this was followed by a second industrial revolution that really started off in earnest in the 1870s. And I think the change it unleashed, the change that we may have in front of us, is captured in two photographs. The first photograph is this one. It was taken in New York City in 1905 on Broadway. And if you look at this photograph and study it carefully, what you will see are horses and trolleys and not a single automobile. Yet look at this second photograph taken at the exact same location only 20 years later. And what you see are automobiles and trolleys and not a single horse. Think about that. In 1905, when that first photograph was taken, 25% of all agricultural produce in the United States was used to feed horses. And yet, 20 years later, the horses were gone from the streets of the city. That gives us a glimpse of the kind of change that we may see over the next two decades. If so, it will build on the third industrial revolution, a revolution in which we at Microsoft have participated, a revolution that many people in Ireland contributed to, an industrial revolution that changed the way the world communicates, the way the world creates, the way the world learns. But as much as anything else, it is entirely possible that the most important thing that we have accomplished in this third industrial revolution is to create the foundation for the fourth industrial revolution we see unleashing today. Because this is a lot more than information technology. We're seeing major changes in the physical world. Changes that involve autonomous vehicles, 3D printing, robotics, new forms of materials. But these changes are not confined to the physical world alone. We're seeing comparable changes in the world of biology. We're seeing genomic diagnostics and treatment and engineering change at an amazing rate. The kind of rate that gives all of us real hope for new cures to cancer and improvements, not just to human health, but changes to how we treat livestock and raise crops around the world. And finally, we're seeing changes in the digital world. We're seeing in the Internet of Things and in new technologies like blockchain and even new disruptive business models. Aspects of life, aspects of the economy that are changing before our eyes. One of the interesting things about all of these industrial revolutions is that each is fundamentally fueled by a foundational enabling technology. First it was the steam engine, then it was the electrical power plant, then it was the combustion engine, and then it was the microprocessor. So much of what we have seen over the last two centuries relied on those four inventions. And if you look at every single thing on this slide, it is all enabled by and connected to exactly the same thing. It's the cloud. They're all powered by the cloud. And that's why we think it's important, before this just continues to go forward at such a rapid pace, to ask ourselves, how do we ensure that this cloud not only serves the fortunate few, but actually serves the world as a whole? That's what led us, as Satya mentioned, to put together our best ideas and share it in a book that we're publishing today. We do this not with a sense that we have all the answers, because we know that we do not. No one has all the answers, but we think that there are certain tenets that will all be served well if we can recognize together. The first is that, as promising as all these technologies are, the reality is that with opportunity comes challenges. There are challenges that we see in the world today that are linked to globalization, and they're also linked to technology. Technology is creating new jobs, but automation can challenge and even replace some traditional jobs. There are new challenges to privacy rights. There are new questions about income inequality. There are new opportunities, but also challenges for people with disabilities. If we don't acknowledge explicitly at the outset that this new era creates both opportunity and challenge, the truth is we'll do less than what we should to make the most of the promise that lies ahead. We, in short, need to ensure that we move technology forward without leaving people behind. And that requires that we accept a sense of shared responsibility. Those of us who work in the tech sector, those of us who work in the private sector, have an important role and responsibility, as do people across civil society, as do governments around the world. If we're going to come together and do what it takes to make the most of this new era, we need to appreciate what we each can contribute, but we need to work together with some clear goals. From our perspective as a company, we see three sets of goals that I'll talk a little bit about today. In the book that we published, we've outlined 78 policy recommendations, and the really good news for all of you is I am not going to read all of them to you this morning. But let me share with you a little bit of perspective on the three broad goals and what we think that they require we think about. It starts with ensuring that this new era of cloud technology relies on a trusted cloud. And that involves a number of different issues that governments need to work through around the world. As they do so and as tech companies address these issues, we think that there's a few principles that are of paramount importance. As a company, Satya articulated our principles about a year ago, as he said that we need to focus on security, on privacy, on transparency, and building a cloud that ensures that people can rely on us to secure their compliance with law. As much as anything else, all of this comes down in many ways to one thing. It's about ensuring that the kinds of traditional protections that we've all had, not just for years, but for centuries, for information that is stored on paper, actually persists when we move our information to the cloud. To make that effective, we need to do several things societally and with governments. We need to keep information secure. We need technology that keeps information secure. We need government policy that keeps information secure. In some ways, this requires new and modern approaches to addressing cybercrime, something that we invest in almost uniquely in the tech sector through our Digital Crimes Unit, a group of over 100 people in over 30 countries that partner with law enforcement to fight malware, to fight child exploitation, to fight the fraudulent efforts that are made to separate people, especially more senior citizens, from their money. We need to address these new problems. We need to address these problems in a way that both acknowledges and ensures that data can move across borders. This is global technology that we are creating. And there are few places in the world where the global nature of this technology is more apparent than here in Ireland, when you see a company like Microsoft using our data center not only to serve the people of Ireland, but to serve the people across Europe and in Africa and in the Middle East. But if we're going to ensure that there are these new abilities to move data across borders, we also need governments to move forward. We need new cybersecurity norms that are going to ensure that, as much as possible, this is a peaceful aspect of human activity. And as we do all of this, we need to pay heed. We need to, frankly, listen to what some officials here in Ireland have made very clear. People have rights in their information, and their rights need to be protected, and their rights need to persist as information crosses borders. That's why we were so focused as a company on the development of the new privacy shield between Europe and the United States. It's why we were the first company to stand up and say that we would certify that our data centers would comply with the new EU privacy shield, and it's why we were the first company to then go do the architectural work to make that certification effective. These are the kinds of steps that need to come together if we're going to build a trusted cloud. Trust has really been in the headlines for 3 years now. In fact, if you think about a lot of what we've been reading about about the cloud, a lot of it has involved trust. But as we've thought about the issues, we've concluded that, in fact, our needs are a lot broader than trust alone. We need to build a cloud that's responsible as well. We need to build a cloud that respects and protects human rights, even amidst the equally important work to protect public safety. And this requires work by technology companies, but it requires new steps by governments as well. It requires that governments work together to take new initiatives on a global basis to use technology to better protect people's rights. And we see so many ways in which this new technology can be used for precisely that. It requires new steps that we all take together to protect people online. It requires new steps that we think about the implications of a cloud-based era for the environment and for sustainability. One of the things that we've recognized as a company is that already our data centers around the world are consuming as much electricity as a small state in the United States. There will come a year in a future decade when our data centers alone will consume as much electricity as a mid-sized country in Europe. And what is true for Microsoft will also be true for Amazon, and it will be true for Google, and we have to work together and with governments to ensure that all of this future electrical use pays heed to the needs of the environment. That's why we as a company announced earlier this year new principles that would guide our work as we go forward. We committed ourselves every year to get better when it comes to our use of renewable energy. We committed to be more transparent. We shared with the world that today 44% of the electricity that flows into our data centers comes from renewable energy sources, either solar or wind or hydro. We committed that by 2018, that number will cross the 50% threshold, and early in the next decade, it will cross the 60% threshold, and we will continue to get better and better from there. But we need government policy to focus on this as well. And given the promise of artificial intelligence, as Satya described earlier, this too is an area where laws will need to be modernized. We need laws that promote the use of artificial intelligence, but we need laws that recognize the vital ethical considerations that need to be at the heart of how we societally move AI forward in the future. If we do a good job in this area, it helps actually, I think, create the foundation for the third and perhaps the most important issue as well. You could argue that one of the defining issues of the year 2016 is, in fact, one of the defining issues of our time. How do we ensure that we can have innovation and economic growth that is genuinely inclusive? How do we ensure, whether one is debating Brexit in the United Kingdom or the presidential election in the United States or any issue anywhere, that we are coming together to think about how we promote more opportunities for the population as a whole? Satya talked a bit about culture. I think in every company you see a renewed focus on culture, and a lot of it comes down to this: how do we help ensure that our people can learn the new skills that they will need in order to be successful? Well, as we look around the world, what we recognize is this: what is important for a company has become important for a country. If one wants to have a healthy digital economy, one needs to build a learning economy. One needs to start by investing in the skills that the next generation of people will need to succeed. Skills like coding, fields like computer science. But one cannot stop with the next generation. We live in a time when many people of all generations are going to be called upon to learn new skills and sometimes find new jobs and even enter new careers. And we need to think about how technology and the private sector and civil society and government can come together to make that easier for people to pursue. Similarly, we need to ensure that this new technology benefits not only companies that are older and larger, but new companies and smaller businesses as well. We need technology companies to focus on this, but we need governments to focus on this as well, if we're going to indeed ensure that we support businesses of every size. And what one sees in other areas here in Ireland is also what one sees around the world. We need to connect rural communities. We need to ensure that the benefits of technology and economic growth are not confined to people who live in the major metropolitan areas, but that they actually do what they should. They reduce distances and barriers for people who are working in more rural areas. That's something that we've been partnering with here, with others in civil society and supporting the Irish government It's something that we've come to appreciate can be pursued more broadly in every country around the world. And as we think about inclusion, as we think about the needs of the young and the old, as we think about people in cities and in towns, there's another vital group we need to think about as well. It's people with disabilities. Did you know that there are 1.2 billion people in the world who have some type of disability? There are 300 million people in the world who are visually impaired. There are other people who have other forms of physical disability. There are people who suffer from some kind of cognitive disability. And yet, what is amazing about every one of these people is the incredible potential they have to do great things in their lives. And yet, there are a few areas of what we do in the technology industry that can have a bigger effect for good or bad than the work that we do on this group of people. If we create a new version of technology that is not easy for people who are blind to use, we risk not only rendering a person who works at a company that upgrades their technology unemployed, but because of the high unemployment rate for blind people, we risk rendering that person unemployable. We simply must do our best work, and we need to take new steps to come together with governments to ensure that technology advances the lives of this vital group. And yet, what I also think is interesting is just the inspiration that this can provide for all of us. Because when we do our best work, it's pretty amazing to see what technology can do. You see it in a very powerful story right here in Ireland. Watch this.
Human beings are designed to push the boundaries, to explore. So I think I've dealt with paralysis by balancing both acceptance and hope. I've always been an athlete. Drawing on my experience from sport fed into how I dealt with these things. The good thing is with technology you can get around a lot of the problems. We're working with robotic exoskeletons, which is allowing me to stand. Sitting down, you're psychologically and physically at a different level from everyone. That meter in difference when you stand up out of the wheelchair, you just feel literally on the same level as everyone else. The really exciting part is the electrical stimulation, and that allows me to power my own legs as I walk. I would love to find a cure for paralysis within my lifetime. It's frustrating that there are barriers to collaboration.
We started working with Mark, and in talking to his team, we realized that they had a real issue with communication. So we ported them over onto the Microsoft platform and they could stay connected.
What we're trying to do is bring together groundbreaking technologies from different parts of the world to track all of the data and see how it interacts over time.
So what I've done is take a daily snapshot of the data and then upload that to the cloud so we can see what his training has been like for that particular day.
I'm really excited about the potential for this partnership and where we're going with it.
The importance of the cloud really is it's not just his own data in isolation. We can actually look at the data from lots of different sources and use that as a way of refining our understanding about the data.
Technology can change people's lives, whether that is allowing people to walk or it's just connecting people.
Mark's very humble, so for me that's really motivating to see someone breaking down those barriers and to be potentially at the edge of something that's really powerful.
Even if we don't find a cure, if I can contribute to the scientific endeavor to find a cure, then that would be a good contribution.
As that story shows, technology can do amazing things. I think it should inspire us to raise our own ambition. I think we should aspire not only to contribute to scientific knowledge, but to find a cure, to create a day when people who are blind can use technology to see in new ways, when people who cannot walk can benefit from technology to stand on their own two feet. As we think about all of these issues, I think we can be inspired by that example. I think we can be inspired by what has happened in Ireland. I think we can be inspired by the past. Because one of the things that we've had the opportunity to learn over the decades here in Ireland is what an amazing story has unfolded here. It is a story that, as all of you know, first had a century when the population of the world exploded, but the population here in Ireland was dropped in half. And yet it is a story of people turning their lives and their country around. It is a story that, as we've come to appreciate, is not fundamentally about taxes, but about talent, and about a government that pursued policies that opened up new ways for the talent here in Ireland to connect with the rest of Europe and indeed with the world, to do so in a way that made it possible for everyone to participate and benefit and move forward, to do so in ways that got the attention of the world and genuinely created an economic miracle on a par with any economic miracle that the world has witnessed over the last 50 years. That is an inspiration for all of us. I think it should cause us all to appreciate not only what good policy can do and what good technology can do, but what we can all do when we find new ways to work more collaboratively across borders. Because this new era of technology, new era of policy, will require closer collaboration than we have seen in the past. But that is the opportunity that we have to pursue. Fundamentally, as a company, when we think about what this fourth industrial revolution can offer, when we think about the clear goals that come out of creating a cloud that is trusted and responsible and inclusive, we know this. Progress will come not by building higher walls, but by constructing broader bridges. We need to construct the kinds of bridges, not only between nations, but to the future, that will be broad enough for everyone to move forward. If you look across Europe today, there is one place where you will see a bridge that is wider than it is long. It's here. It's in Dublin. It's at O'Connell Street. Let us look at that bridge and let us use it not just as a source of inspiration, but a symbol for the future. Let us look to that bridge. Let us work together. Let us continue to grow the economy here in Ireland. And above all else, let us look to that bridge for what we have the opportunity to build together. Thank you very much.